Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Gotta be a little soul searching going on around Dallas. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. You get boat race like that against the New Orleans Saints. Clearly, there's going to be some lingering questions, Pearl, because this is a team that, you know, the owner said all in. We know that's kind of BS, but they did end up paying Dak Prescott. They did end up paying CeeDee Lamb. Micah Parsons is up for a big contract. Your coach is in a lame duck year. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for there to be pressure on this team outside of just, hey, they're the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to worry a little bit about all the guys who got paid. Like, CeeDee Lamb got paid, and now he's out missing practice on a Wednesday with an ankle injury that he says is no big deal. Then why aren't you practicing if it's no big deal? So, and then Dak Prescott gets $60 million a year and didn't really look inspired last week against New Orleans. He played okay, I guess. As always, he put up big numbers in a blowout loss, which is a big Dak thing. But here's the thing. What is the main flaw with them? They cannot stop the run.
Yeah.
That was last year we saw Green Bay gash them in the playoffs. Could not do that last week against New Orleans. I'm going to have a little faith in Mike Zimmer, the new defensive coordinator, that he can just, he's got to look at what happened last week against New Orleans and adjust. At a certain point, they have to do something so they don't let up 200 yards of rushing.
Okay, well, this might be the worst team to be facing then, which is a desperate Ravens team that's 0-2.
I know.
That just blew a 10-point third quarter lead to the Raiders at home. And what can the Ravens be really good at doing? Running the ball. I mean, between Derrick Henry and if Lamar actually wants to start running, which he did not do against the Raiders, then this is going to be a problem. And I think that the Ravens, this is probably got to be as desperate as I've ever seen them.
Yeah. I mean, but you are loading the box like you've never loaded the box against this team. You're saying Lamar beat me with your arm.
Okay, but you know, he might be able to. I don't know if I want to dare him to do that. I know that's always been the knock on Lamar, but that's usually the postseason knock on him. In the regular season, he is able to find his guys. Zay Flowers is a good receiver. Mark Andrews is a good receiver.
I have a theory on this offense. I think he is much more effective later in the season. I feel like they need some time to get all those pieces moving. That's what happened last year. Like, he was a much better passer in the second half. And I don't think the receivers are great. Zay Flowers is good. He's the nifty little slot guy.
He was wide open on a couple plays. Yeah. I mean, how they lost to the Raiders was really about basically a terrible holding penalty, or maybe it was a neutral zone infraction. I forgot what it was that, you know, would have stopped a drive for the Raiders that ended up putting them basically on the goal line, and they punched it in. And then all of a sudden it was like, what's going on? And also, if Justin Tucker can't hit 50 yarders anymore, it's actually kind of a big deal, because that was always one of the great secret weapons for the Ravens. But if he misses those, you're just giving your opponent this great field position. And that's another thing that happened with the Raiders. You know, Tucker misses a 50-yarder. They get the ball back with good field position. They went down and scored.
All that being said, if I'm Dallas, you're going to beat me over the top. I'm not going to let, because if you let Derrick Henry go, you get him going.
I know.
If you get him 25 carries, you're in trouble. Remember the Ravens played the Texans last year. They chose not to spy on Lamar. That's death. This is a must-win game for the Cowboys, too. Their schedule is pretty tough. Like, they can't give away home games. So, I'm definitely saying, fine, beat us with a pass if you want, but we can't. What happened last week cannot happen again.
So next week is at the New York Giants. So maybe that one's not your tough one, but I get what you're talking about. At Pittsburgh, Detroit, at San Francisco, at Atlanta, no longer looks like maybe not going to be easy at all. Their defense is good. Philadelphia, Houston, it's a lot. Here is Micah Parsons on why this is a prove it week for the Cowboys.
To me, it's like a prove it weekend. And I'm not just, you know, I'm not putting anything on any of my teammates. I'm saying myself included, like, I need to step up. We all need to step up. Like, this, like, it would hurt me more if we all didn't step up. We all played down to that standard again, because that just tells me we're not moving in the direction that we should be moving.
I mean, he's right. I guess the thing is what is Micah Parsons supposed to do when a team has a 2-touchdown lead on you and can just, you know, run the ball right at him? He's not as effective. And if you don't have your, you know, if he's not looking at a lot of third and longs on must pass situations, it's just a little bit different. I know he's super disruptive. It's not like he's just one trick pony. But to be honest, like, this is what happens when you get a lead on the Cowboys. You can basically just say goodnight.
Yeah, but why they get a lead? Because nobody wanted to tackle anybody. Well, actually, there was one long pass from Derek Carr, but then generally, like, they just stopped tackling. But think of that Alvin Kamara touchdown where he ran into the pile and somehow escaped out. Like, somebody just grabbed that guy and tear him to the ground. They're just not tough right now. I mean, Mike Zimmer must be infuriated by last week's effort. We kind of blame Dan Quinn, who's now the Commanders head coach. Yeah, I think they need to toughen up on defense. But that being said, Maggie,
yeah,
I don't know that you need more than 10 wins to win this division this year.
Well, so let's talk about the NFC East.
Yeah. The Cowboys don't need their third straight 12-5 year to make the playoffs.
Okay, well, I know you're very down on the Eagles right now because of how they lost on Monday night against the Falcons. Things have been brewing. If you want to say the vibes are off, I think that'd be fair. And Nick Sirianni could be on the hot seat. Philly is still favored to win this division,
right,
though.
Narrowly.
Narrowly. Is that right to you? That is not right to you.
No. I would pick Dallas. I think, listen, the final score was 22-21, Atlanta. But everybody who watches the Eagles can see that, like, it's a team that has no interest in tackling. Their defense was so bad at the end of last year, the worst in the league. Literally the worst in the league the last 6 weeks. I don't think it's that much better with Vic Fangio, defensive coordinator. You saw he basically, I think, he was taking a nap in the end of the fourth quarter. I think they have so many flaws on defense. There's just no way that they can be a double-digit win team. I'd be shocked if they were.
Okay, but I've got Dallas coming off a 44-19 loss at home.
Ideal either. That's what I'm saying. They're the new NFC South. Somebody's going to win this division. Somebody's going to win this division.
One team coming out of this division.
It's not going to be the New York Giants. It's not going to be the Washington Commanders. That leaves Philly and Dallas. It's almost like flip a coin. They're both flawed in very similar ways. But I just think that Dallas will beat Philly. I think Dak is going to tear the Eagles apart. I think he's going to throw for 400 yards in both games against them. I'm telling you, I watched that secondary. They are very, very flawed. And the pass rush is non-existent in Philly. At least there are game scripts where if Micah Parsons gets a lead, as you just mentioned, Dallas can come after you. The Eagles really have mismanaged their defensive roster. They have no chance.
You should bet the Cowboys then. Make a little money off that. Cowboys to win the division.
Plus 130.
Okay, but that's better than minus 130 if you're trying to look for value.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely bet that. I feel good about that one. I mean, do you feel good? Minus 130 on the Eagles? Why would anyone bet on that? Except that the Cowboys do have a tricky little schedule there because they do have that first place schedule. They got the Niners, who I assume will be a little healthier at some point. I think
also, history would tell you they're going to have a lot of trouble. They can't beat San Francisco.
Right. But we'll see. Can the Eagles split with them? Remember last year, Nick Sirianni's lost 7 out of his last 9 games. The trend is not good in Philly.
855-212-4227. I don't know, but I picked Dallas to miss the playoffs this year. Now, I don't feel great about the Eagles winning the division pick that I had. I thought they would try to turn things around a little bit, but I don't know. I think this ends up becoming the NFC least again. And this is your, 9-8 team that makes the playoffs. EJ, you're disgusted.
Yeah, I think we're getting too prisoner of the moment. I know pretty often Eagles fans, so I know we have some care about the Eagles on this show. But, I mean, they won in Brazil where Saquon Barkley looked great. And they played a game against a decent team without A.J. Brown, who we know is, like, the most important player on the
team. He's going to be gone for a couple of weeks,
though. Yeah, he's going to be gone a couple of weeks. I think he'll be fine in 2-3 weeks. Like, I think the panic from the Eagles side is a little overblown. Like, this was not a game in Atlanta, against Atlanta, where they just were so terrible for 60 minutes and they couldn't get out of their own way. They should have won the game.
What about panic from the Dallas side of things, especially if you lose this game at home to the Ravens?
I think that panic's also a little pump the brakes, okay? Like, the Saints look like a team that's going to score a lot of points. And, like, if you make you give up some big plays, it's going to happen. Like, you're going to get blown out sometimes. It's week two. Like, it's week two. Everybody chill. I think this is still going to be a good division. I have the Eagles winning this division, but I think it's going to be close. I think both of these teams will be fine because at the end of the day, they're still more talented than most of the other teams in the NFC. I look at the Eagles roster. Look at the Cowboys roster. They just have more talent than all the teams not named Detroit and San Francisco.
Well, explain what happened to the Eagles last year because it's a similar roster.
It's a similar roster, but I think a lot of last year was the internal strife. It was teams coming back from losing in the Super Bowl, and that's just not an Eagles thing. That's just an NFL thing. You lose the Super Bowl, you're good night. You're not making the Super Bowl.
But they got off to a 10-1 start.
And yeah, but it's just history. History shows that you're going to find a banana peel for whatever reason. Injury, you're too sad, you lost, whatever the situation is. You're going to find that banana peel. I think with the Eagles, they're a year removed from that. It was a bad loss on Monday night, no question. But I mean, come on, this is the city of Rocky. They're going to get up off the mat. Like, what are you doing? Like, get the Eagles a little bit of a chance.
The Eagles have one superpower, and that is Jalen Hurts running the football, and it's great, and it was the only reason they were leading that game, but he's not going to last 18 games if he carries the ball 13 times a game. So, like, if that's all you got, that's the only way to save Nick Sirianni's job is Jalen Hurts run for his life every play. It's not going to last.
Wait, what's the Cowboys' superpower?
The Cowboys is probably Micah Parsons killing your quarterback.
Okay. I mean,
what were you saying?
I don't think they have one. Dak's a good regular season quarterback, no doubt about it.
Well, you saw,
what's the superpower? The linebacker core that we're expecting to be a lot better?
When Demarion Overshawn actually got the speed of light chasing down Deshaun Watson in week one.
They gave up 44 points.
Dallas's superpower should be splash plays defensively, right? You think of Deron Lamb interception. I know he's hurt. You think of the year before Trayvon Diggs.
Yeah.
You think of Michael Parsons over 10. Like, that's, to me, their superpower. It's if you get into a fist fight with them, though, it's kind of like a boxer. If you kind of play close or whatever, like, you know, like it's harder for them to make those big plays. That's their superpower. They did it in week one. I mean, Deshaun Watson just looked completely shook as soon as he stepped on the field against that Cowboys defense. But the thing is, if you can, like, turn that against them, make some big plays, then their defense is questionable.
Exactly. So, like, I don't know if it's, like, that much of a superpower. If your defense, if you're the superpower, should be able to, at some point, stop the bleeding before things get out of hand and be able to turn the momentum. And I don't see that when they get down by like 10 points. I'm not even talking about the three touchdowns and now we're just emptying benches and stuff. You know, 855-212-4227.
They do have, but you have to remember one thing about both these teams, specifically Dallas. Like, they have two, they own the Giants. So that's probably two wins. And they're going to probably beat the rookie quarterback and the Commanders.
Sure.
So they're going to feed off the bottom. I mean, listen, Dak is going to have MVP numbers again. He's going to throw 10 touchdowns in two games against the Giants. That's the other thing. Dak's ability against bad teams is a bit of a superpower.
855-212-4227. So there you go. Who do you trust more here? Dallas Cowboys, Philadelphia Eagles, this division is turning out maybe to be a doozy. Or do you believe, like EJ, Prof and I just being a little prisoner of the moment, teams getting off to a tough start?
Yeah, I know. We're ready to put three NFC South teams into the playoffs.
And I know. That one might come back to bite us, but not yet. Okay, got a lot more for you today, including the one question that I need answered by everyone on the show and everyone in the audience. Do that next.
All right, the Dependable Player of the Week is sponsored by Depend and the Prostate Cancer Foundation, reminding you that health is a long game and screening for prostate cancer is easier than ever. Learn more at Depend.com. Dependable Player of the Week, chosen by EJ Stewart, who we love having back in the studio this week after his long rehab from a knee injury.
A tragic kickball accident.
Yes.
Wiped out the summer.
Yes, and you are now dependably limping around the office, which is, but you look, you know, you're starting to get a little quicker already a few days in. Not exactly fast.
It's fast twitch.
You know. So, football games are in play, but I think you're going off football. I think you're going baseball.
Ooh, okay.
I think you can depend on Shohei Ohtani chasing down records and either stealing bases or hitting home runs. That is my choice.
No,
but I have a football choice too, if that doesn't work.
If EJ's doing anyone in terms of dependable, it's going to be Joey Churches. It's going to be someone from his New York Mets who has been very, very clutch as of late. I think that you went with TJ Watt.
No, okay, no. If we're doing football, I think you went with Maserati Marvin Harrison Jr. Mm.
Can he be dependable, though? It's one game. TJ yeah. Watt's been doing this for a whole career. He's the reason why the Steelers are 2-0. It's not the offense.
I'm going to give you guys a hint because I want you guys to get this week. Who had the – it's in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Who had the most chips on the line came through in the clutch moment?
Kirk Cousins.
No.
Oh.
Kirk Cousins is the dependable player of the week. Not necessarily the greatest game, but when we use the word dependable,
yeah.
He was dependable when the Falcons needed him to be the most.
So dependable now is boring.
Wait, what so what's, boring what's about Saquon Barkley in this analogy? He's the leaky guy.
That's pretty good.
That is good.
The word dependable, Kirk Cousins seem to go hand in hand. I have to be honest, that he fits the mold.
The man who drives a minivan?
He's like, I get Shohei and Maserati Marv. Those guys are spectacular. Nobody is like, wow, what a dependable play by Marvin Harrison Jr.
He hasn't done enough to be dependable. We have no idea what he's going to do this week.
Like a possession receiver is dependable, not a long distance receiver. Like Cooper Kupp is dependable.
Well, not really, because he's hurt.
Too often now.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. Dependable player of the week, which we do on Thursdays. And we love guessing. Okay, I've got a question everyone in the room has got to answer because I think I know what my answer is, but I want to know what you guys think. So I came across this story. It's about an actor named Emil Hirsch. You may know him.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Whatever happened to that guy?
Oh, yeah.
So apparently he was up for playing John Belushi in a movie.
Okay.
Okay? And it was going to be a John Belushi biopic, and he's going to play John Belushi.
Right.
There was one caveat. He had to gain 100 pounds.
Yeah, of course.
100. Now I know, like Raging Bull, Robert De Niro, I think gained 80 pounds for Raging Bull and ended up being a massive hit for his career. Do you gain 100 pounds? Because you got to lose that weight. Gaining 100 pounds would be hard, and losing it's going to be even harder. Is that worth it? If you're an actor, and the movie might stink, you might not get Raging Bull. You might get something that everyone's on social media saying how much it sucks and you suck and, you know, everything.
First, what are they paying him?
Yeah. What's he getting paid?
Probably something. But he's already made money. This is not his first role. He's not a starving artist.
Yeah,
he's good.
I feel like 100 for a method actor like Emil Hirsch, like that's nothing. Yeah, I
would nothing. Definitely.
Nothing? 100 pounds?
This dude's 5'7". I bet he weighs normally like 160. That's a lot of weight to gain for someone that's not large to begin with.
So fun. 10 milkshakes a day.
I think it's one of those things that sounds fun and then it's like, oh man, I got to eat another dozen donuts. Like at some point, right. It becomes a little old.
And here's the other thing.
You're going to feel like crap.
Right. And he's doing this big role. It's a big responsibility to play John Belushi.
But his career is kind of in the toilet. I mean, he kind of needs this.
Here's the only good thing. Now with vitamin O, you could take this off a lot easier, but then you got to go on Ozempic, you know, or something like that. But you could get a little boost to take the weight off.
I mean, I've been carrying an extra 25, 30 pretty much since my kids were born, and I feel that. I can't imagine tripling that and then some. My God.
I have an issue with this movie.
We think you look great, too.
Yeah.
I have an issue with this movie. He should not have to do this.
What about a fat suit?
Prosthetics at this point, when it comes to movies, are so great.
Good point.
Like, you have Colin Farrell.
He looks like an idiot in those trailers.
Oh, the penguin?
Yeah, see, that. I think Colin Farrell as a penguin looks terrible, and everyone's ripping.
He looks
ripping.
Awesome. Get out of here.
People are ripping it to shreds.
No, they're not.
Everyone thought, like, that last Batman that he was the penguin in, it was like, oh, what is this? Like, they're not ripping the penguin?
No.
I feel like
they just want a new show coming out today.
No, I know, and I feel like the buzz around it is like, I don't know about this. I'm hearing a lot of that.
I don't know who you're talking to. That movie was
different
movie was
echo
very
chambers.
You don't think
really
that last
Tom
movie
Farrell.
Was so bad, and also his character was bad in that
what?
Last movie? The
what
Robert Pattinson
horrible take.
Oh my gosh! See, this is why I'm glad I'm back.
What do you think
the
Rotten Tomatoes on the last Batman was? It's probably the lowest 89? Batman there was.
What was the name of it?
The Batman.
I was right CeeLo. First, what was the name of the movie? I clearly haven't seen it.
Two young parents with young kids spoken right there.
Tomatoes.
That's Critic, right?
Yeah, critically 85, the audience 87. People really like the Batman.
They like that Robert Pattinson.
You're in the minority on that.
Who played Batman in this one?
Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, I didn't see it either, Maggie.
Yeah.
Great movie.
I'm still on the Michael Keaton.
I think Perloff has pretty good movie takes, and this is maybe the worst one I've heard today. And me and him are aligned on a lot of movies.
That's
why I'm so stunned.
Did you actually watch it, Perloff?
Yeah, I've seen that one. Oh. It took 9.5 hours out of my life.
It is long, 256.
Yeah, would you gain 100 pounds for a role? 855-212-4227.
I could use the money. Are they paying well? Sure, no problem.
We have a study for you. See how you can enroll in something like local hospitals.
That I might.
So all the Rotten Tomatoes for the Christian Bale ones are in the 90s. Like that one was definitely not as well received. It wasn't
Batman Begins in the 90s.
Which one was it? Begins.
That's Christian Bale. That's the first one.
Was that like? Wasn't it like 02?
Yeah,
05. 05. Oh,
I don't think it is. It's 85.
85, 94 from the crowd.
Right. So it's in line with the first Christian Bale Batman movie.
94 from the crowd. Anyway, I don't love fat suits. The one thing I hate more than anything is when they did that thing to Robert De Niro where they made him look younger. That's awful. Oh, yeah.
The CGI. Yeah.
What's that called? De-aging?
Yeah, I don't like that either.
And I feel like I'm not a fat suit guy. I'd rather see him put on the weight like an old school actor. Like, what are you doing here? If you're not going to put on 100 pounds, like, why are you even... I mean, like,
do you even care about acting?
Matthew McConaughey almost killed himself to do the career-changing role. Like, if you're an actor, you definitely got to sell out and put on the weight.
So
right?
That's the other question. Would you rather have a role where you have to gain 100 pounds or you have to, like, lose 35?
Lose.
I think so, too.
I mean, you come out...
No.
You come out better on the other side of it.
That is incredibly traumatic to lose that weight. Christian Bale.
Traumatic?
Oh, my God. Would you ever see, like, Matthew McConaughey's journey from getting back from that? It took years.
No, but what about putting on 100 pounds? That's not going to exactly be a cakewalk, no pun intended,
There's no trauma there.
No, it's awesome.
No, it's not.
It's not good for your organs. Both sides, both ways.
Getting to eat some junk food for a little bit is great, but 100 pounds, how long would it take you to gain 100? Look at you. And I mean that as a compliment, by the way.
It would
how
take
long
would six it take? Months, easy.
You really think you'd feel better on the other end of that? You'd enjoy that process?
Yeah,
after 2 weeks, you'd be like, oh my God.
Do you know, like, how hard it was for Matthew McConaughey to lose for Dallas Buyers Club and how terrible an experience that was? I mean, he didn't look right for years.
Okay, but how many pounds was that? She said 30, 35. That might have been more extreme.
Do you remember Christian Bale and The Machinist? That was terrible.
Yeah, was
he's
awful.
Also they had a
lunatic.
Starved himself for months.
Yeah, he's not a
no for me
person.
Putting on. I can't believe like which is easier to do, put on 100 pounds or lose 50? Like losing weight sucks.
I don't even think you could do. Forget like. Physically, I don't think your body could gain 100 pounds. I don't think you're capable.
Well, I'd be up to... I don't know. I think I could.
Come on.
5 milkshakes
a
day.
You strike me as one of these people who's
5 milkshakes
got one of those built-in metabolisms that's always kicking.
But wait, you guys know what I mean?
Also exercise
like, gaining weight like is much easier than losing weight. Losing weight's tough.
I don't disagree with that, but on the back end, I just think when you get to the end of it, especially if you're someone that's carrying a few extra to begin with, it's like, all right, well, I'll put the work in.
Yeah.
I'm getting paid to do this. It's part of my role. And on the back end, I'm in a better position now health-wise.
Well, here's the part, though. You're going to gain all that weight. You have to lose it. You're not just going to walk around with an extra 100 pounds.
Yeah.
Because that's not what your body is naturally doing.
That's going to take you a while.
Well, I just cut out the 5 milkshakes. McConaughey lost 50 pounds
it's a lot.
Dallas Buyers Club. It was really hard.
Majorly
extreme. I agree with that.
Rafael's in San Diego. Good morning, Rafael.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Would you gain 100 pounds for a movie role?
You know, that's like a catch-22,
yeah.
You know, under the circumstances, you know, if it was something that would, you know, I wouldn't say benefit, but if it was something that, you know, would call for me to do it, I mean, of course, it's going to be managed. You know, he's probably going to have nutritionists, doctors, you know, just to make sure that all this weight.
No, they just drop him off at a Golden Corral.
Right.
We'll say we'll pick you up in 2 hours.
Yeah, but if you guys don't know, Emil Hirsch made a movie about, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago called Into the Wild. I don't know if that rings a bell.
I think it's actually
like
a lot.
15 years
ago.
Yeah,
I think that was a lot longer ago than you think. Yeah.
And, you know, he had to lose a lot of weight. And I was like, okay. Now, I don't know if you guys saw David Bautista had to gain a lot of weight for the last movie he did. And he said he had to gain a lot of weight. And look, this guy's pretty huge.
Yeah, wow.
And then looking at it now, he lost a lot of weight. It's like everybody's like, man, I looked at him, I was like, whoa, something happened to this guy.
Yeah, what happened to that dude? I've asked the same question. Is there an answer to that?
He wanted to cut weight because he didn't feel comfortable.
Yeah, Raphael, thank you so much. I'm sorry, we're up against it, Raphael, but thank you for the phone call. Seeing Dave Bautista, how he lost all that weight, is like how you double take former offensive linemen when they stop playing football, and it's like, whoa,
That's what he looks like. It's a normal human.
Right, exactly. It's like, that's Matt Burke? Like, whoa. Or someone like that.
Yeah. By the way, that movie was 2007, Into the Wild.
A while ago. Yeah. CeeLo has some updates for us. Maybe poll question, would you gain 100 pounds for a movie role? What do you have, CeeLo?
Football season is here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks and use code MNP and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. So the Panthers made headlines this week with the benching of second-year quarterback Bryce Young. So Wednesday, first chance to hear from his teammates on the move. Here was veteran wideout Adam Thielen offering support.
Everyone believes in him. I think the teammate he is, the player he is, I think the coaches and players all feel the same way about that. There was just their decision that they felt like that was the best thing that helps us win, gives us a chance to win on Sunday.
So it'll be Andy Dalton getting the start against the Raiders.
We also love Andy, everything that he's done for this organization, for this team, for me as an individual. Everybody in this locker room, everybody in this organization has a ton of respect for Andy.
So very quick there, but in the same breath, he hit us with organization and then organization. Like the Canadian organization. Now, he's a Minnesota guy, so he's got kind of close to the border, but I thought it was interesting he went with both pronunciations there in the same soundbite.
Yeah, that is a good observation by you. Also, let's not pretend that Adam Thielen basically having a temper tantrum on the sideline didn't have anything to do with the fact that Bryce Young's getting benched.
Good point.
Because Thielen's a pretty even-keeled dude, I think, by all accounts.
I mean, Bryce Young had a lot to do with Bryce Young.
Yeah, fair.
He just could not hit the side of a barn.
it's gonna hurt you when you're trying to be a quarterback.
I don't know what happened to that dude. I've heard so many different theories. I'm like, just he forgot how to play football. I'm sorry. That's just what I saw on the field.
That's a problem.
I mean, you might have been right that he was a flawed prospect because of his size already, but even so, his numbers are so bad.
Do you have words in your life that you pronounce two different ways? I don't know if I do.
No, I don't think so. That's why it kind of jumped out to me.
Yeah, I get it.
But
you're calling him a fraud, basically.
No,
a phony.
No, I just, maybe he's kind of caught in between.
It's because he's lying.
Where he grew up. Oh, all right, well, there's that theory as
Bryce
well.
Bryce Young, no, we still love him. We still got all the faith in the world in him.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you don't.
He went alter ego there. Did you guys do anything on the CJ Stroud, Caleb Williams interaction?
Not yet. Go for it.
Okay. All right. Well, what I have is Stroud addressing it. I don't have the actual audio of the exchange from Sunday night. Maybe they do on the other side of the glass.
Yeah. EJ and Ryan have it. So why don't you set it up?
All right. Sure. So this was after the Sunday nighter between the Texans and the Bears. So, of course, you get the post-game handshakes and hugs. And Stroud grabs Williams with some, I guess, initial encouragement, and then Williams, as he basically goes to leave, and Stroud kind of pulls him back in and gives him a second part of it. And my interpretation, it seemed like Williams was like less than thrilled. Maybe it's just because they lost the game, but that definitely garnered some attention.
Good job out there, bro.
Yeah.
Hey,
keep going.
Stop taking those hits.
Yeah, I know. Right.
Hey,
yeah.
Learn from those mistakes, and everything that you got, bro, is in you already, bro. You're going to be a hell of a player in this league.
Yep.
All right, boy.
Appreciate it.
For sure.
Yeah, yep. When he listened, come here, was when he kind of pulled him back in.
Right.
And, you know, I'm trying to do the right thing, but people thought, hey, you're a second-year quarterback. You're not exactly a grizzled veteran here. So Wednesday, Stroud got a chance to address that, and he was clarifying he wasn't trying to talk down the rookie or anything like that.
I was not trying to, like, treat him like I was trying to, like, little bro him or nothing. He knows that, too. I have a ton of respect for him. I told him I had respect for him. I had so many guys coming to me after games last year, and that meant the world to me that those guys even thought about giving me advice. So I just try to get back to what the game has given to me.
So he's trying to pay it forward in his interpretation, at least.
To be honest, I didn't understand why Stroud was getting criticism here. You know, it's like, yeah, I know he's not a grizzled vet, but he did just go through a season and make the playoffs. It's not like he's done nothing. So to say, hey, you know, stop taking those hits. The one thing is the advice is kind of obvious. Like, I think if Caleb could do something to stop taking those hits, and he can. He can get rid of the ball, stuff like that. I didn't see this as a little broing him, like, oh, pat on the head, you know, stay safe out there. I don't know.
Maybe the pullback and the, hey, come here. You know, like he was almost like
the last time he's going to see him.
I didn't view it that way, but I guess just
it's been out there.
People
I've
saying
it
that way. I'm like, okay, if I watch it with that lens, I could see where they maybe thought that.
Yeah. I mean, this whole thing is a bit of a reach to even make it a thing. I have no idea what to say. Like, they're probably friends, right? Like, this is like,
well,
I
they're
assume,
the same age, right?
Yeah. I mean, they probably come up in the same, circles, Elite 11. I don't know. They're not exactly the same class. We just looked it up. Stroud was class of 2020 and Caleb was 2021, but I'm sure they were all in the same camps a million times.
Right. Yeah, probably. I mean, they grew up on totally different coasts. I mean, Caleb Williams is from D.C. and C.J. Stroud's from L.A., but
all those quarterbacks do the same,
yes,
same string of camps. I would imagine they're buddies.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. EJ, did you see this as a little broing?
I didn't see it as that. I could see why people would feel that way because of Stroud being so young. But I don't know. Stroud didn't say this, but I feel like he would not have said this, I think, if Caleb's body language wasn't so bad. Like, he says in the press conference, like, I can understand, like, he's upset that they lost. Like, like, are people, because Caleb kind of gives him kind of a cold shoulder. Like, he kind of doesn't want anything to do with this. But I think he tells him that because the fact that Caleb looks so distraught, looks so...
Right, like, you're going to be okay.
Yeah, like, you saw him on the sidelines. I mean, he looked like he couldn't do another drive if he had to do another drive.
He was, like, slumped down, eyes closed up. It was like, this dude, don't send him back out there. He looked like he was going to end up in a body bag. And let's not also forget, you know, Caleb Williams is a really big moment from his college career where he's crying on the sidelines.
Yep.
Like, maybe the losing, and people know that the losing could get to him and it could shake his confidence a little bit. So... I think Stroud is all good. I think he's just sort of one of those leader types.
Yeah, he's trying to pick up a young quarterback who's, you know, going through it a little bit here in the early going.
Right. Stroud is definitely a leader type. Like, you hear everything he taught. He's a verbal guy, too. That's the one thing. Like, some guys don't. Like, Jalen Hurts is nothing.
Nothing.
He actually spoke in the locker room, and Sirianni's like, God, I can't believe it. Jalen Hurts can't believe it. CJ Stroud, and this sounds to me, will not shut up. Like, he's a very verbal person. So that's why, to me, like, he definitely didn't mean anything.
I mean, look who his best friend in the NFL is, Micah Parsons.
Oh my God. Oh,
right.
The
two of those guys.
I'll watch those guys do anything. They're hysterical together.
Every time I hear Hurts speak, sounds like he's a step away from laryngitis. I mean, that's not his fault.
Like, just, Doc Rivers at on the sideline?
Yeah, you would think he'd spent the whole game screaming.
Well, he said he was sick.
Yeah,
He's
but definitely, like, you know, you can tell the difference. Some quarterbacks are very loud. Like, our guy, Boomer Esiason here, I'll bet you he was super talkative during his playing days.
And
that's why he went straight to the booth.
Oh, definitely.
Boomer's like a Hall of Fame broadcaster. He's just as good at playing quarterback as he is broadcasting.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
And he was, like, even as a player, I remember, oh, my God, this guy's going to go right to the booth. There's certain guys who, and that's CJ Stroud. So that's why I don't take anything from this. If he thinks it, he says it. That sounds mean, right?
I'm on side of Stroud here. I'm on team Stroud.
Who do you think is the loudest quarterback in the league? I'd have to go with Mahomes. He's got that Kermit the Froggy voice that's really distinct and loud.
It's distinct, yeah. But I don't know if he's the loudest.
Definitely.
Who, Dak?
Oh my God. Here we go. You can hear that from three rooms over. That's the craziest weird thing. But do you mean loud, like, in the way they call the play at the line, or just, like, off-field loud? Who's, like,
I meant at the line. Oh. Like, who's best for their team in terms of checks at the line, all that stuff? Like, who can actually be heard?
They all kind of scream.
You have to.
I'll tell you what, watching the Jet game, Levis is loud.
Yeah.
He was, and like usually you're in a game of Rodgers, usually you always hear all of his calls.
Yeah.
Levis was coming through very, I was like, wow, I didn't realize his cadence was so strong.
Mm. Yeah.
Kirk Cousins screams at the line. Like, the quieter the person is, like, the louder they yell.
Probably feel like they've got to project, make sure everyone hears it on the field.
Who's
right?
Who's the chattiest quarterback off the field? Like, it's obviously not Tom Brady, by the way, if you've seen him in the booth. But who is it? Is it Rodgers? Is it Stroud? Who's the guy who is talks the most?
Rodgers.
Chatty.
I think Rodgers is a front runner.
I don't think so.
Baker
I think
talks a lot. Baker Mayfield has a lot to say.
I think maybe Baker.
I guess when I hear chat, I think I'm thinking more about the delivery.
Like, does trash Rogers, talk you're talking about? Or just
like the...
Always talking.
Yeah, the most verbal guy. Yeah, always saying something.
Stroud might be my pick.
Yeah, I mean, Baker and Stroud seem to...
Mahomes talks fast, so I think he's probably...
Yeah.
Pretty chatty, I would think.
Aaron Aaron Rodgers would lecture the door.
Yeah.
he would talk to a mannequin.
But he gives me the impression that he's only given that to certain guys he cares about. He's a little kind of elitist in that regard, where like he's not giving the third string receiver anything.
Well, maybe not in Green Bay, but now I think he's tried to change it around. I bet the cafeteria workers are probably like, this guy won't shut up, because I think he's trying to make a point. Like, I just want to go home to my family. And Rodgers, who's he going home to? Right? More playbook, more watching Netflix, more. Weird.
Netflix, more YouTube.
Yeah, more weird conspiracy theory documentaries.
Like Lost, as he revealed.
Yeah, he's got
weeks
all
ago.
The time in the world. If you're rewatching Lost, you've got a lot of time on your hands. And this, like, I can see it. Just, you know,
he don't got to study the playbook. He made the playbook.
He wrote it.
Right. He sends Nathaniel Hackett home with homework to do on the playbook.
I'll give you three quiet guys. Well, they're not really quiet, but who want to be up there at the podium at least? Jalen Hurts. Kyler Murray.
That's what I was going to say.
Lamar Jackson does not want to hang around. And
not
explain.
At the podium. I bet he's chatting with his teammates.
But he does not let himself get out. You don't see Lamar talking in the offseason. We see Aaron Rodgers is on every podcast known to man.
I mean and these podcasts are long.
Yeah.
Like, I know, because I'm always trying to look for Rodgers content. We do our What the Bleep is Aaron Rodgers Up To Today? And it's like, oh, he's on this podcast with this world famous archer. I'm like, how is this podcast 2 hours and 45 minutes? I can't listen to this.
He does have a very deliberate, calm, smooth, slow delivery.
Well, he's from California.
You know who talks a lot? Minshew. Gardner Minshew.
Definitely. Oh, yeah.
He's a talker.
He's high on that list.
Yeah. There's definitely the quiet guys and the loud guys.
You know, a guy like Minshew, and no disrespect to him, but like, he would annoy me because it's like, dude, like, you're like barely hanging on as a starter. Like, you're the last guy.
Beat the Ravens.
I know, but you'd be the last. Like, imagine, like, you're a Raider, like, this training camp, this, mini camp, and, like, he's just talking to you nonstop. You're like, bro, I don't know if you're going to be the starter. I don't know if you're going to be here by week 6. You're still talking? Like,
throwing dimes to Brock Bowers. He'll be there for the next 5 years.
Oh, yeah. He looked great this weekend, for sure. But that's the Minshew experience, though. He'll give you one or two good games where you're like, ooh, maybe this is the guy. And then
did Minshew really look great on Sunday?
Second half, I thought he
did okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the Ravens defense. Yeah.
Listen, Devontae, and the Ravens defense was dominating in the first half, too. Yeah. And then Devontae Adams can just catch anything, except for, weirdly, he dropped a pass over the middle, which was so weird. But it's like one-handed, not like Odell, but like on the sideline, just sort of like catching almost like a baby. I don't know.
Silly good.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. And we had a caller yesterday who basically called and asked if the Raiders are good. No clue.
I mean,
get back to us on that one.
Yeah, it's two games.
Not
Let
sure.
Let it play out a little bit. Right?
I give their ceiling at 9-7.
Yeah.
9-8.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Middle of the road. Here's something from Delta 9 in the chat. We talked about weather. whether you would gain 100 pounds for a movie role if you were an actor. And Delta said, my take is there are good enough fat actors out there already who look close enough to Belushi. This is fat discrimination.
Mm.
Should they have just found somebody who is already a little overweight? Maybe you discover somebody. Maybe it's their big break, their big role. And then all of a sudden we get just like a heftier person.
Play devil's advocate.
Who's playing Belushi?
Would those
in the
people
new
then
Saturday
be offended? Oh, you're only asking me because I'm a fat person? Right? Get the other side of that.
Well, but if it's a breakout role.
Yeah, fair.
There's a new Saturday Night Live movie that's getting a lot of hype. Who's playing Belushi in that? And did he put on weight? Because Belushi wasn't actually that heavy for the first season.
I was going to say, I bet Belushi is one of those people like Babe Ruth. I think we remember them being really big, but then when you see a picture of him, it's like, was he as big as Farley? Not even close.
Yeah, well, at the time, maybe, but as you know.
Right. We've changed.
Gotten progressively larger for the most part, not all of us.
I blame the hormones in our
food. That would be really hard to play Chris Farley. You cannot, Belushi was a lot. Yeah, anyway.
But it's that physical comedy, though.
Whoever's playing Belushi, this guy Matt Wood.
Wood doesn't even have
he doesn't even have the same thing. Can't click on him on Wikipedia.
Oh, that's cool. Maybe he'll be a breakout.
He's like one of three on this long list that doesn't have the hyperlink for his name.
There's this awesome Saturday Saturday Night. It's a new movie that's coming out that has no stars in it because they didn't want anybody recognizable playing these guys. It looks great.
I know. Yeah. Spoiler alert, we are going to have somebody on the show who is in that movie.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Is their first name initials?
No.
Okay.
Also, spoiler, we've been talking a lot about Batman. This person was also in a couple Batmans.
Ooh.
There you go.
Love that.
Good tease.
Yeah. That's going to be a couple weeks from now. The movie doesn't come out.
First name initials. I like the way it is.
Well, because I'm scrolling and I'm looking at the cast and there was one name that jumped out that I do recognize. Well, so I thought maybe it was that person.
I mean, when you say is their first name initials, like are the Their name isn't like initials Johnson. You mean like
J.J. McCarthy.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Obviously, the initials stand for a first and a middle name, but I should have said the name he goes by. That's not his last name.
Yeah, just wait. Picking on you.
You're going to
No, you're right.
It's not J.K. Simmons, but that would be awesome.
That was a good pick on me moment. You are correct.
No, whatever. It was a bucolic read.
Just wait now. Perloff's going to start some kind of trend where everyone's naming their kid initials Johnson. I mean, it's probably better than Hayden, Payden, Jaden, and Layden. 855-212-4227. Thank you, CeeLo.
I apologize. That was the second most obnoxious thing I've said to you today.
No. It
doesn't
was an
even
excellent
make the top
point
five.
Because the way I worded my question made absolutely no sense. So you cleared it up for everyone out there.
Coming up, big story yesterday that could have a lot of reverberations, but not in the way you might think. We'll get to that.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Peter King's going to join us coming up in the next hour. Of course, the football writer, reporter, just recently retired. But we got 16 new NFL finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Eli Manning and Marshawn Lynch were two people that really caught our eye. We're going to see what Peter has to say about it. He was a longtime Hall of Fame voter until he literally just gave it up this summer. But of course, he covered all these guys and want to get his thoughts on.
Definitely.
Eli, is he a first ballot? Marshawn Lynch, how good of a case does he have to get in? So a lot going on. Speaking of retirements, a little bit of a shock yesterday, maybe a big one in the sports media world, where Adrian Wojnarowski, Woj, decided to call it quits. Now, Woj is going to leave the news-breaking business, and he's going to go be the general manager for the St. Bonaventure basketball program. He went to St. Bonaventure. It's his alma mater in the year, in the days now of NIL. College GMs are a thing.
Definitely. College scouting departments. I don't know if basketball has scouting departments like football does, but football is, they're gearing up. College football is like pro football now.
Yeah, I mean, you really got to be like working the transfer portal
because
you've got 100 guys on the roster. I mean, basketball is 15, so it's a little different, but.
But you still have to dole out your NIL funds like you're doing a salary cap. So you have you have $8 million at St. Bonaventure to spend on your team. You got to figure out where you're spending it.
Wow. I don't know if they've got $8 million, but sure. We'll see. I'm calling it now. This is a fake retirement. I think Woj probably believes that maybe he's burned out or maybe he wants to go do something else. The news breaking business sounds fun, but in reality, your quality of life is bad. Now, you're getting paid a lot, but you have to be on call almost 24/7. You get no time. You are just attached to your phones. We think it's funny when we see like Adam Schefter like on TV working the phones, but like that's his whole life. That's not just the 5 minutes we see him on SportsCenter. I don't buy this. I think there is something in Woj that is so competitive and a need to get information out there and a need to sort of quote unquote win. In these instances, that is such a strong draw, Perloff, I don't think he's going to be able to stay away.
Yeah, but can he scratch that competitive itch as a GM of a college basketball team? I feel like that's actually really competitive in the sense of their actual wins and losses, not just, I don't know, a slap on the back for figuring out that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander signed a new contract. Yeah. Like, you actually, I think, I don't know. When I heard this story, everyone's like, oh, it's a retirement from being a newsbreaker, but it's an awesome job. Like, be a GM of the basketball team. You're a basketball guy. I feel like that's a kind of a dream job for a lot of people in this business. I mean, that'd be amazing. I mean, it's not the biggest program. If it was a big program, then everyone would be like, oh my God. Say it was an ACC school. Like, he's the GM of UNC basketball.
Or Kentucky or something.
Yeah, it'd be a massive, massive promotion. The only reason it's not a big deal is because it's St. Bonaventure.
Yeah, I think that might be part of it, too. He's got an emotional attachment to it, but is the A-10 schedule, is the juice going to be, like, enough to get, you know, this is a guy who's, you know, as high profile as it gets when it comes to basketball, working on the draft coverage, you know, working on these massive stories, and the NBA is, like, the league of stars.
Mm.
And now you're going to go to do St. Bonaventure basketball? And no disrespect, I went to an A-10 school, too, and I've been to Olean a few times in January. This is not L.A. As someone proudly from upstate New York, I'll be the first to admit it. That you better have an emotional attachment. That's not an easy place to live. It is cold, cloudy, and kind of depressing. Now, you get your, you know, your alma mater, so that's definitely something. I just don't see him being able to stay away. He's going to watch Shams Charania step into a $20 million contract and start breaking all this news?
Yeah.
I think guys like this are built different. They're wired differently. And maybe he's just burnt out and needs a little time to get away. And then I think that itch starts to come back. And then someone's going to text him something. Hey, just a heads up. I saw this. And then you get pulled back in. I think it's like a drug.
Hmm. Maybe. I think that college lifestyle is sweet, though. People love that. I mean, like, you look at any magazine article of the best places to live in America. 10 out of 10 are college towns.
Sure.
I would love this job. I mean, if Dartmouth called me up and said you could be GM of the basketball team, I'd be like, very intrigued.
We got a show to do.
Hey.
You can't leave us.
But GM of, like, trust me, there's no way I'm qualified to be GM of the Dartmouth basketball team. Well, actually, I was thinking if the Sixers called me, I would do that.
Again, you can't leave us.
Well, I'm not going to get the Dartmouth. That's the thing. It's a good job.
It's going to feel like a part-time job for Woj.